The chapter reading of St. Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, is our meditation for this evening. We'll read it as we go, but these are the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and so we pray. May the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing unto you, O Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have heard about Jesus the prophet. We've heard about Jesus the priest. Tonight we'll hear about Jesus the king. But when we think about the coming of the Messiah, of Jesus, we have to ask, who are we expecting? When we think about when we sort of first noticed, when we put two and two together for Advent or Christmas, when we were told the reason for the season, who were we expecting? And when it was pointed to the fact that Advent was about the second coming just as much about as it is about the first coming, who are we expecting? Yes, Advent is about preparing for the arrival of someone great. It is an expected great event with a person of high importance at its center. Who is he? We know who Jesus Christ, Son, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the God-man, God's prophet, and our high priest. We know who, but we have to say that is not all. He is also the king. And Americans don't really understand that all that well. We just don't, unless we are history buffs or we really like, you know, the kind of fiction like J.R.R. Tolkien, and we get into that kind of stuff, fantasy, but still, we've never lived under that sort of government. To be a subject to a king. So when we hear that, what king of what? A better question would be to ask is, if there is anything he is not king over? Answer, no. There is nothing that he is not sovereign king and lord over. Yes, and even death and hell. Every inch of everything, including you and including me. All people that ever were, are, and will be. It is sad, though, when so many think that they can decide this for themselves. As if God lets them make up their own minds. As if deciding not to have Jesus as their Lord, he somehow is not. Or can't be, then. Like he has to bow to our will or something. What kind of king would that be then? That is like when a child thinks you cannot see them because they have their hands over their eyes. Because they can't see you. And many people live like this. Their hands over their eyes, their fingers in their ears, heads pushed into the sand. That changes nothing. And when Jesus does return, this will do them no good at their arraignment. I mean, what is this gospel text all about? The king is coming. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so we have a text that should make us glad. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. We all know that well. That was just a couple weeks ago. It also is the Palm Sunday reading. That one. Or we get the one from the revelation given to St. John. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Which king will yours be? You cannot serve two masters. There is no middle ground. Jesus said you are either for him or against him. You either accept all that he says or none of it. All of the Bible as his word or... So what do you expect of Advent? A little baby? A baby who had, and I put that in quotes, as he really never had to flee King Herod and go into Egypt. Or that poor and humble Jew who rode into Jerusalem, his city, his own city, humble on a donkey to his death. Or do you expect the eternal angel of the Lord with a flaming sword who struck down mighty Egypt? Who causes the wind and the wave to be still at his command? Who told the fig tree to wither and die, and it did? Who commanded Lazarus to come out of the tomb alive, and he did? And he will again with all of humanity on the last day. Who will on that same day melt the universe down to its base elements before recreating everything by the power of his command. His will and his words of his mouth. Will he be the one who tells you, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. And they will go away into the eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. What side of God will you see when he returns? The left or the right? Do we act like the world and push it all under the rug, thinking, after all, Jesus was killed off 2,000 years ago, really just a man who wanted to do that peace thing, right? Him and all those others, just another man. They come and they go and preaching and writing and telling us what to do. And so they are just killed off. And such has been from the beginning. And so they all can be ignored then and replaced. And then, Santa is much better than Christ. Just like the Easter Bunny and Cupid. And Halloween, well, all of these are what we'd rather have. You see, it's also easy to ignore anything too serious. No, nothing to worry over, or so it would seem. Until that day, when they see him coming in all his glory. They will run in terror, the Bible says. They will want the mountains to fall and cover them, to bury them as deeply as possible, to hide from the piercing light that comes off of him, that exposes their sin and shame, all that guilt that he has come, that he had come the first Advent to erase. And the saddest thing is that he erased it all. He took all their sin, all of the sin of the whole world. Remember that humble Jewish carpenter? That baby in the stable feed box? Remember that broken man bleeding on a Roman torture device, the cross? They're dying because of them, for them, because of all that, what we all have done and left undone. But ignore. So many insist on doing. And not just ignore, but wallow in, brag about, excel in, teaching others, learning how to do more, to be better at all sorts of sinful and godless behavior. Then comes the advent of the king. The king of the universe is coming in judgment. What will his verdict over us be? What kind of king are you expecting? Prepare him room, the hymn says. How do we do that? Repent. Turn back to him, live in him, and not by the world's standards and ways. Walk away from sinful and godless lives. Then come and bow down before him at his humble feet, at his humble table, and receive forgiveness for all of it. You see, he makes you ready for his return. He is still willing and does, all by his washing and his feeding and his teaching. Then he will say to you, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Because when we live in his grace, partake in his means of grace, his word and sacrament, even if we are not paying attention or never see around our sinfulness, we will be all about that and doing. And yes, we will. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. It is true. Not that we should pay attention. We should not be paying attention to what we do in terms of trying to please God and in the ways to make earned points. We just do what we see is there that needs doing, and we do it. When we bask in his light, the light of his word and sacraments, it happens. We do that. We will respond when there is the need. We will give when asked. We will put others first. We will not shun the stranger. We will not look down on the poor and suffering. We will sit down and eat with sinners, because we will know we are not any better. And if we have more, it is only by grace and his favor that we do. So of course we will share. Of course we will help. Of course God's word is what we will live by. What else? What else does a Christian do? We are his children, Christians after all. And most of the time we don't realize we are doing it, thank God. We won't be counting. We won't be adding. We won't be expecting any credit. We don't need to. Because he is keeping count and he is keeping watch. We don't need to, because all that is needed and more than that, more than enough, has already been earned, bought and paid for, covered. Yes, he has covered it all forever. So then, yes, of course, we would be doing whatever good is needed. We would love to. But wait a minute. Yes, there is always that, right? Sin. There's doubt. There's concern. I mean, just take a look inside. There's worry. Yes? So? He still has it covered. It's no surprise to him. He knew that on the cross. He knew that before we were born. He knew that before he created everything. So why wouldn't we then? Still, it's okay. True, we would, but when do we do it right? When did we ever do good? And the king will answer then, truly, I tell you, whenever you did it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Surprised we will be. that he was keeping track. We enter his kingdom not just as guests, but as royal family, inheriting all that he has. For a glass of water? Yep. Because Jesus, the King, earned it all for us already. We are just saying thanks. We are just acting like family does. We are just behaving as he taught us. We are just being who we are. Children of his Father. Brothers of the King himself. Sisters of the priest, of the prophet, of our brother. Yes, so look to the skies. Hope in his coming. And pray with all the saints, come Lord Jesus. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.